Yeah, next presentation is, does growing grain, legumes, or soil liming lower greenhouse gas emissions from wheat production in semi-arid climate by Dr. Barton. Please.
Good morning, everyone. This morning I'm going to be presenting results from a field-based study that we've conducted in the southwest of Western Australia. Approximately here, where we produce up to around 40% of Australia's national grain production. Our approach has basically been to measure greenhouse gas emissions from the soil using a semi-automated chamber system for 2 years, specifically measuring nitrous oxide and methane on a sub-daily basis, and then incorporating these results into a life cycle assessment. Previous research that we've done in the region where we've calculated the carbon footprint of the production of a tonne of wheat has shown that over half of our CO2 equivalents result from either the production or the application of fertiliser, specifically urea, onto the soil, and only a small proportion, up to say 9%, results from actual soil nitrous oxide emissions. And this it contrasts quite a lot with studies that are done in more temperate environments where nitrous oxide emissions from the soil can really dominate the greenhouse gas profile of wheat production. So given this, in developing management strategies for our region and that would help lower greenhouse gas emissions from wheat production, we were wondering that if we were to incorporate grain legumes back into our cropping rotations, whether this might decrease our greenhouse gas emissions from grain production by decreasing our reliance on these synthetic nitrogen sources. And the previous speaker sort of alluded to this as well. If we were going to tackle our soil nitrous oxide emissions, we're going to have to look at different approaches to that which is typically recommended for lowering nitrous oxide emissions from arable systems. Here we've got the daily nitrous oxide emissions in grams of N per hectare per day over the course of a 3-year study conducted at another site. And what I want to just really point out is that firstly, apart from the fact that the daily emissions are quite low, generally less than 10 grams of N per hectare, that when we look at the temporal distribution, we're not getting responses to actual N fertiliser applications, which are denoted in those where those triangles are placed. And we put on, say, anywhere from, say, 25 to 100 kilograms of N per hectare per year onto these crops. Instead, our larger emissions are occurring between crops when the soil is fallow, in summer months, and in response to summer rainfall events. So we've got no active plant growth at this time of the year due to lack of rainfall. So just managing our N rates and timing of nitrogen isn't going to help us lower those N inputs. So after reviewing the literature, we were curious to see if by raising the pH of our acidic soils by applying lime, whether we could actually decrease these N2 emissions resulting from these summer rainfall events. And this is because we hypothesised these emissions were likely to be in response to nitrification. So we set up a study east of Perth, the capital of Western Australia. And the main things I want to point out here is that we're on a very free-draining sand, And just to remind you, at this part of the world, we are rain-fed crops. We only produce them in winter, and during summer, it's pretty dry out there, not much happening. So at this particular study site, we set up a randomised block design where we basically compared the yields and greenhouse gas emissions from a lupin wheat rotation. Lupin is a grain legume, versus a wheat rotation. So in the first year, half the site was planted to lupin, the other half to wheat. And then the following year, the whole site was planted to wheat, except where we had grown the lupins, we discounted the amount of nitrogen that was applied to account for the nitrogen that we had gained as a result of that lupin crop. And then on top of all of that, we either applied lime or we didn't. So once we collected our data from the field site, we then incorporated it in a life cycle analysis where the goal was to compare the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions from a lupin wheat rotation with that from the wheat rotation, both with or without the lime. And then we expressed the results in either CO2 equivalents per hectare per year or CO2 equivalents per tonne of wheat. Today I'll just focus on the results from the per hectare basis. So as Dr. Sandhu explained previously, when we do a life cycle analysis, we need to include emissions related to activities that have occurred pre-farm, on the farm, and post-farm, express them as CO2 equivalents and add them all up. I'm just going to make a few points here about the on-farm emissions. As I've already noted, we measured this nitrous oxide emissions. We also measured methane uptake. In terms of indirect nitrous oxide emissions, we used a combination of IPCC and Australian government methodologies. And similarly, we accounted for, when we came to account for the CO2 emissions from the dissolution of lime and the urea hydrolysis, we used IPCC methodologies as well. So does incorporating a grain legume in a cropping rotation decrease greenhouse gas emissions? I just want to point out here how much nitrogen actually went onto the two rotations across the 2 years, and to note that the nitrous oxide emissions were low, and that including the lupin in the rotation did not have a disadvantage in the subsequent year in terms of wheat yield. Here is the data showing the CO2 equivalents per hectare per year produced for the two rotations, and yes, including the lupin in the rotation did lower those emissions. And that's mainly because of the savings as a result of applying less urea, which meant less CO2 from urea dissolution, but also a saving in terms of transport. So our second question was, does raising the pH of an acidic soil decrease N2 emissions resulting from summer rainfall? And I just want to point out here that when applying the lime indeed did lower the soil pH in the surface 10 centimetres. In terms of nitrous oxide, here are the daily N2O emissions in grams of N per hectare per day over the course of a 2-year study. Again, not a lot happening there, and definitely not in response to the nitrogen application rates. But as we'd previously observed, our greatest, if you can call them that, emissions occurred in summer in response to summer autumn rainfall events. We had 5 summer autumn rainfall events all up, and they accounted for 79% of our total emissions. And when we looked at these total emissions for each of our treatments, which I've tabulated here, we found that for the wheat rotation, yes, applying lime did decrease our total losses of nitrous oxide emissions resulting from these summer rainfall events, and by 30%. But interestingly, for the lupin wheat rotation, no effect. One thing we weren't counting on was that by applying lime to this wheat-wheat rotation was that we would also increase cumulative methane uptake. As I said, this was just significant for the wheat-wheat rotation. Okay, so we've applied lime to our wheat-wheat rotation, we've decreased nitrous oxide emissions, we've increased methane uptake. How's this impacted on our carbon footprint? Well, it really hasn't made a difference. When we've applied the lime, it's effectively increased the CO2 equivalents for both the cropping rotations. And this is due to the CO2 that's resulting from the dissolution of the lime, but also as a result of transporting the lime to the site. But we have to remember the IPCC assumes that all lime applied will dissolve in 1 year. And anyone that's thought about this will agree with me that this is probably not appropriate. So we repeated the analysis, but now allowed for a greater dissolution rate of 5 or 10 years. And whilst it did decrease the overall CO2 emissions per hectare, it's still higher than if we hadn't applied the lime. So in conclusion, incorporating a grain legume in the crop rotation lowered greenhouse gas emissions from grain production. Of course, the extent of the savings is going to depend on how often you include the legume in the cropping rotation and how much is actually saved. Liming decreased soil nitrous oxide emissions following summer rainfall and increased methane uptake, which is great, but liming will only decrease total greenhouse gas emissions from grain production if the CO2 resulting from the lime transport and dissolution is offset. So in doing our life cycle assessments, we need to be aware that the greenhouse gas emissions from grain production is sensitive to CO2 emissions from liming. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Barton? Yes, please.
Will liming affect your wheat yields?
Sorry?
Will the liming affect the wheat yields?
There was a non-significant increase. We're a little bit unlucky. You saw the yields were bumper crop of 1.4 tonne per hectare. I have to admit, in this part of the year, if we get 2 tonnes, we're pretty happy. But that second year wasn't the best of years. We've actually kept that site going. I'm not measuring nitrous oxide emissions from it. Another colleague's come in, and he's continued to get improved yields as a result of that application. So that would ultimately have an impact on the greenhouse gas emissions intensity.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Your results are very encouraging and very disheartening at the same time, right? Because adding lime would be good to reduce greenhouse gas production, I guess. But like you said, we would need to offset CO2 emissions from lime. So do you have any sense on how we could do that?
Well, I think in more, temperate environments, I don't think it's going to be a problem because I think you're going to get the yield increase to make it all worthwhile. I put on 3.5 tonnes. I'm surprised no one said, what are you doing there? I mean, we put it on because it was really acidic and we really wanted to bump it up to a level that it would encourage nitrification. In that part of the world, people would only be probably putting on between about 1 tonne every 5 to 10 years. So I've probably exaggerated, I better admit this, I'm probably exaggerating it a little, but if you want to get it up to an optimum pH, then that's what you would have needed to do. So I'm definitely not talking to growers about not liming, because I really think this figure, the dissolution rate, really needs to be sorted out, because I think it's an over-exaggeration of what happens, and there's a lot of people in the literature that have tried to make that statement as well.
Are you able to comment on the changes in the CEC in the soil from adding the lime?
Good question. I haven't looked at it, but this is a gutless sand. I haven't measured it. I haven't measured it. I can only guess that it may make a difference. It couldn't get much worse.
Right. Well, I would just posit that, you know, pH is a nice indicator, but if you can only get it up so high, then maybe start to look at other issues.
Yeah, good point.